Hello, everyone out there. This is Trevor with Tea Time Reports. Thank you so much for tuning back in for another movie slash TV series slash anything of that nature review. We have a very interesting one today, a limited series, that I just recently finished about 2 days ago. So still hot upon the mind, a lot to discuss regarding this little Netflix exclusive, but it is called American Primeval or Primeval. I'm going to fuck that up every single time I say that. I just want you guys to know I do apologize. Hopefully it does not speak to my idiocracy. But moving into this limited series, man, this was a great watch. In my personal opinion, I thought that this was a very, very fluid story. A lot of historical accuracies as well as some exaggerations about Brigham Young. And then obviously the two fictional characters, Miss Holloway and then Isaac Reed, and then, you know, the son, Devin. But Two Moons, the little girl, we'll get into her, or the Indian girl, she was actually a real person. A lot of really cool parallels and just, you know, bumps along the road that really just make this story very interesting to me. Rotten Tomatoes does not do this summary of the show justice by any means, but I'll go ahead and read it out here. A mother and son fleeing from their past form a found family while confronting a harsh landscape of freedom and cruelty in the American West. Yes, yes, but and some. I mean, wow, that's a crazy, lazy summary from Rotten Tomatoes. But quickly, before we get into our analysis and breakdown, we have the Rotten Tomatoes score being at 70%, which in my opinion is far too low for this particular limited time series. And then the average popcorn meter for the audience was an 87%. So you can kind of get the difference there. I really thought this was one of those standalones that you kind of, and I even said this after I watched this, because shout out to Rush, shout out to Caden, because they watched it as well, but we were talking about it, and we were like, I really wanted more, like, I wanted more out of this, I wanted, like, a second season, or, like, something, but it just sucks that it's one of those kind of multiple part kind of movies, if you will, because this could have been a movie, this could have been two movies, or even a fucking trilogy, to tell you the truth. But yeah, so Miss Holloway, her son Devin, they're coming from Philadelphia, I believe. And this is all, by the way, directed by Peter Berg. Before we get into the performances, let's talk about Peter Berg. This is a guy that I've always genuinely respected. Has done a lot of stuff. Hell or High Water is, in my opinion, probably his best movie. The Ringmaster is also very critically acclaimed. He also did A Midnight Clear, which I've not seen, but highly touted. Looks like he did something on Wind River, possibly wrote Collateral as well with Tom Cruise. Friday Night Lights, Deepwater Horizon was really good. I mean, he's had some very, very decent, films. Shatner in Space, I heard that was horrible. Spencer Confidential, I really like that movie. In my opinion, that's a fun watch. Mile 22 it's another fun watch, but not, you know, like a great movie. Patriot's Day was fantastic. Clearly likes Mark Wahlberg, if you haven't realized that. He did the Dwayne The Rock Johnson Hercules movie back in 2014. He was an executive producer on that, but, you know, and also he did not direct Hell or High Water. He was a producer. He directed Deepwater Horizon. He directed Patriot's Day. He produced Wind River. He directed Mile 22. He was also in the movie itself. He directed Spencer Confidential. He was the cinematographer for The Ringmaster, actually. And then, yeah, so his most recent directorial debut was literally this show. So in terms of movies, the last movie he directed, that was Spencer Confidential, because he was an executive producer on A Man Named Scott. Oh, shit. That's sick. He did a Kid Cudi, like, documentary. And then Shatner in Space, which looks absolutely fucking, yeah, that looks horrible. Then he was an executive producer on Buzz in 2019. He's done some weird stuff. I'll say that. He's not like your typical director, I guess you can say. Because his debut? Holy shit, he's going back a little while here. Because he was an actor in Midnight Clear with Ethan Hawke. What else was he in? I know him from something else. Like that face, his face is, maybe it's Copland. The Rundown. He directed The Rundown. I think that's his first, no, he directed Very Bad Things in 1998. Okay, I'm going way too far down Peter Berg's filmography here, but yeah, really, like this might actually rival some of his better movies like Patriot's Day or Deepwater Horizon. This might be his best work. To tell you the truth, I actually think this is his best work. And they don't really give you like too much of what you need here from in terms of cast and crew perspective. So that's very not helpful. So give me 1 second to pull that up. So will IMDb help me better here? I don't think so. Oh, yes, it will. Thank you. Alrighty. So I'll keep Rotten Tomatoes pulled up. But so just a little bit of backstory. I have restarted watching a show called Spartacus, and it has a guy named Jai Courtney, the actor Jai Courtney. He plays a guy named Varro in there. And Varro's a G, especially season one. But Jai Courtney's in this. I guess we can go down the line. So essentially, Miss Holloway, who is played by Betty Gilpin, I've never seen her before either. In terms of performance, I thought it was very well done. I thought that you could see that she was trying to maintain composure. She was trying to protect her child. She was being irrational with some of her decision making. Also kind of being a little bit of on a roller coaster ride because she was on the run. She has a bounty out for her life, dead or alive, for $1,500. And so she's on the run, trying to get to the West Coast with her son, Devin, played by Preston Moda, who was actually very, very sellable in terms of believable. You know, he actually believed that he was a little kid back in the West. Like, it wasn't some kind of bad acting job by a kid, which typically, unfortunately, does happen sometimes, and you can't really blame the child. It's not experienced, and it's kind of hard to, like, as a kid, I would imagine it's hard to pretend like that, especially with all the cameras around, like, and you kind of see that sometimes, especially with, like, movies that flop, or, you know, kind of looking at Disney Star Wars movies now, and how cheesy it is, and how cheesy it has to be with some of just acting styles, especially with, like, Marvel, and I don't know, like with the whole CGI, it's really not acting anymore. And I feel like with this, there was a lot of acting because they took these people and put them in like these very, very scenic situations around nature, around the wild, and in these very, very intense moments, especially when it came to the writing. Like, I thought the writing really aided and assisted a lot of these performances because it wasn't a lot of dialogue all the time. Yeah, there was those frantic moments. Yeah, there was chaos. Yeah, there was blood. Yeah, there was love lost and anguish and anger. But there was more like you got to see the story unfold visually with the imagery as well as the mannerisms with each performance, aided with the writing. I'm not saying the writing wasn't there. I'm just saying that it was beautifully and eloquently kind of composed and put together, in my personal opinion. I think that in terms of matching what your script was probably originally, trimming a bunch of stuff and kind of condensing it into what this became, I thought that you could tell it took a lot of work. It took probably a lot of time, and you could tell the vision was there because a lot of there was no similarity in terms of episode structure or anything like that, but it was more just that long story. But each episode had its own different vibe and appeal to it, which I thought was very interesting and unique. And you also had the aspect of each episode had its own length. So, like, we had one episode that was 52 minutes. We had one that was 38 minutes. So you could really tell that it was meant to be displayed and released in this manner. I thought that was a very, very convincing way to showcase that. And I respected it. I really did. And getting back to Betty Gilpin's performance, I thought she did a great job as Sarah Rowell, who were... her fake name was Miss Holloway in the beginning of the show, when her decision making was very, very rough. She got her first initial guide killed. She hooked up with these Mormons in this caravan to try and get to Crook Springs, which was her destination. All of this, by the way, is in the Utah Territory. During that time, like, the Mormon and U.S. government were having those kind of battles and legitimate warfare and some mass murders and tons of crimes were committed and undocumented and still not known to this day. But this was predicated around the White Meadows Massacre, I believe it was called. It was a caravan of about 70 or 80 Mormons that were murdered by their own people, by the Mormon militia, the Navajo Legion, that was under Brigham Young's command. And they made it look like Native Americans did it to try and incite more violence and to try and sway the American government and army and militias out of the Utah Territory to focus more on the Native American tribes, who, by the way, Brigham Young historically did get along with and actually trade with and actually live amongst, and not amongst, but, you know, side by side as neighbors. The Mormons were not going out of their way to battle Native Americans. That's just not what Brigham Young was doing. Yes, he did have 23 wives, I believe it was, or 20. I think it was actually 20. And a lot of people deem him insane, but Betty Gilpin's character was not a Mormon. She was, like I said, on the run. She murdered a man that forced himself upon her back in Philadelphia. And also, he also threatened her son. So she took his life and then got the hell out of there. And the bounty obviously soon followed. And, you know, you got back then, when you have bounty hunters and marshals and sheriffs that would literally go cross country to get your ass to collect that cash, because $1,500 back then is, I mean, that's instantaneous wealth. I mean, I can't imagine how much that would mean. I mean, $1,500 would definitely help me out. But back then, I imagine that's like finding a box of gold. We also, like I said, Preston Moda played Devin Rowell, Sarah Rowell's son. He was very convincing, very well portrayed. Joe Tippett played James Woolsey. He was the commanding officer under Wild Bill, who was also a real character, a real guy in real life, who was the right-hand man of Brigham Young, the governor of Utah. And by the way, Brigham Young did not get it elected. He just kind of deemed it so, after he, I think, evacuated Wyoming after there was some massive battles with the Mormons getting pushed out of their homes in that state. It may have been another state. It may have been Kansas, or I don't know. It may have been one of those. I don't know. But yeah, getting back into that, Joe Tippett played James Woolsey, a guy that was ahead of the Navajo Legion, like a leader, a guy that kind of started this entire story off, because he was one of the leading members on the charge on the caravan of those 70 new settlers and explorers or miners or whatever, guys that would go and, you know, get into the lumber industry, get into the gold mining, get into all that stuff. People that are traveling across the country, they were just murdered for no reason. And James Woolsey was the leader and the charge commander of that, and he had all those people executed and killed. And he let a few people get away, and a few of those people happened to be Sarah Rowell, her son Devin Rowell, who found a way to get out of there, and then two other people, Jacob Pratt, played by Dehan, and then Abish, his wife, played by Sarah Lightfoot Leon. Both of their performances, I just want to say this, are absolutely fantastic. They, you know, they definitely don't have this great marriage by any means, but okay, so Jacob Pratt apparently was married to Abish's sister, but her sister passed, and then he just, due to, I guess, structure or tradition, married her sister, Abish, and Abish just felt like she didn't belong there. So once that whole massacre happened, they both survived. Jacob Pratt survived a scalping, and he just went insane after that, and then Abish survived being kidnapped by I can't remember the tribe name, but a tribe of Indians that was working with the Mormons on that massacre. So they killed the other settlers with the Mormons, Navajo Legion. And so she survived that. And then to it comes first full circle for those two. If you haven't seen it, please do. It's that storyline, in my opinion, is fucking like it hits close to home. Derek Hinkie plays Red Feather, a rogue warrior from a very, very large tribe. I can't remember the tribe's name. I just don't want to be offensive by any means, but very, very good performance by him. I thought it was very convincing, not only just with like the mannerisms and just like the brutality, but like the humbleness and just like the chill vibe, even through something horrible, even through something gross or gore or just kind of simple. I don't know. It was just a very, very well portrayed, I guess, Red Feather. I very, very believable. And then there was, I forget who, if I can find the, yeah, Irene Bedard played Winter Bird, who was actually confirmed a real chief. Now, the gender of this chief is still up for debate, but a lot of people do believe that it was a woman. So she was actually, in the show at least, the mother of Red Feather and kind of like the adopted mother of Isaac, who we haven't talked about yet. We'll talk about him in a second. But yeah, she was great. She was very spiritual, very knowledgeable, and assisted, I guess, the path of Isaac and the path of Abish as well in her own way. And the worst thing about this, and we'll talk about it, we'll kind of sum it up. We'll get through the performances. But yeah, no, Winter Bird was pretty badass. And just her knowledge of, I guess, the area, but also the world and this realm. I don't know. She was like a spirit guide, in my opinion. And then Shawnee Poirier plays Two Moons, who was this mute girl that Sarah Wowell and her son found. And she was also kind of helping them, you know, when it came to combat purposes with a knife. So she was helping, I guess, the group move forward. And they kind of took her under her wing and fed her and took care of her. And she just stuck around. So inadvertently, Sarah kind of got herself a daughter, or at least a really good friend. And then, like I said, Isaac is played by Taylor Kitsch, who might give the best performance of the entire show, in my opinion. Besides, Shea Wingham plays Jim Bridger. That's actually crazy that his last name is Wingham. We'll get into Shea Wingham real quick. Jim Bridger is was a real guy in real life who actually built his own fort in Utah that, in the show, Bingham Young burnt down. He bought it and then burned it down. So his performance, Shea Wingham's performance in this show, was absolutely fantastic. I think, you know, if there's not going to be an Oscar or anything, like a Golden Globe or something, like an Emmy, right? No, Emmy's music. No, Grammy's music. Emmy, an Emmy or something, bro, for TV. Like, he had a great performance. He was fantastic. But getting back into Isaac's character, played by Taylor Kitsch, a guy that's one of my favorite actors from John Carter, Battleship, Lone Survivor, just a G. Also, the I forget what other movie he was in. The Savages with Aaron Taylor Johnson. Yeah. It was Savages. It's like 2011, I believe. Gives a great performance. A guy that lost his family, lost everything in life, that just kind of kept pushing, kept surviving, knows the land, knows how to fight. Fights with like a beast mentality and a savagery to him. And he was raised by Winter Bird and kind of had that value, those values and morals to him of a Native American, like tribesman in a sense. And it was pretty awesome to see his character kind of get rode into the story in a way that he was kind of, he became Sarah Wowell's guide, has saved her and her son and Two Moons many times until the end. And that was a really, really full circle. That's the perfect way to describe this show or limited series. It's very full circle. Everything has a beginning, and once it begins, it has an end. And it showcased very well in this. I thought all the performances were fantastic. Getting into Jai Courtney's performance as Virgil Cutter and Andrew P. Logan as Lucas. There were two brothers that discovered Sarah Rowell's bounty. And simultaneously, while all this is going on, they're tracking her down, and they run into Isaac. And, you know, Jai Courtney has a great, great character. He just always has such a charismatic addition to the cast or just to the screen, in my opinion. He just does a great job embodying the character. And his younger brother in this, Lucas, played by Andrew P. Logan, does another really good job of having that goodness in him. He was a man of maybe not faith, but of moral compass. And you see that take, you can see that get taken away by an act that's unforeseeable or unforgettable, in my opinion, obviously. But and you see it get taken away, and he turns into what he turns into. It's just such great symbolism, and such great symbolism, and in terms of just seeing the parallels of the characters, because there's like duo characters in each like plot line, and it's pretty cool that way. I like that how you have Sarah, how you have Raoul and Isaac Reed, how you have Virgil and his little brother, how you have Redfeather and Winterbird, and then you have Abish and Pratt, and then you see everything kind of correlate and hook back up. Really well written, really well shot as well. Really enjoyed all the scenery shots. It was beautiful. All the front, like the new frontier vibes, the mountain ranges, the trees, the rain, the snow. It was just beautifully shot. The cinematography in this was amazing. It should definitely be discussed. I mean, the fact that this was a like, it just didn't seem like a Netflix original. I thought I was watching The Revenant in some of those shots. Like, Peter Berg, man, you got some hidden talent, man. I'll say that much right now. As a good old Western, a good old Western cowboy that's out there hunting for bounties, I'll say that you got some goddamn talent, man. Yeah, I mean, you can shoot a shot. I'm going to stop doing the Southern accent, like, now before, you know, before later. But, no, the cinematography, the performances via acting, not even just, like, how the lines are delivered, but just, like, mannerisms, the look of fear, the look of love, the look of hate. This show is brutal. Like, it's actually brutal. Like, there's a scene, like, there's some scenes in there that have to be controversial for sure. Like, there was a fight scene where a kid gets shot and stuff. Like it shows the brutality of the new frontier in that time. Not saying it's the most historically accurate. I know there's some things that are possibly off, exaggerations and such. But, I thought I got a pretty damn good picture of what the Utah territory looked like. And it's crazy, Caden even said this, the Utah borders to this day are still the ones that Brigham Young set back then. And BYU, all you BYU fans, Brigham Young University. This guy was the, I think, the second president of the Latter-day Saints Church. I could be wrong on that. He may have been the first, but I'm pretty sure he was the second. But I didn't actually talk about that guy's performance. I want to actually bring that up. I wonder if I definitely missed that. That's crazy. That's my bad. I got to give that guy a shout out before I wrap up the episode. Bear with me, folks. That's shame on me. Shame on me. I got to find him, though. Captain Edmund Dellinger, played by Lucas Neff. He was fantastic as well, by the way. His narration through the first like five episodes, fantastic. I know he wasn't gonna be like on the top of the call sheet or whatever, but he was exceptional. I'm trying to find. There's gotta be the all cast and crew. So Joe Tippett played Woolsey. Trying to find. Wild Bill Hickman, played by Alex Brühl, was fantastic as well. His range is there for sure. Kim Coates. Yes, Kim Coates. Absolutely fantastic. I loved whenever he was on screen. Maybe they do a Brigham Young show. I why not? Only like I feel like we should have got more of him, to tell you the truth. I'm not gonna lie. I feel like we were kind of undersold on it. That's like maybe my only gripe with the show. That's like literally. That and the ending. Okay, so I'm not going to spoil the ending, but like, okay, my only two gripes, not getting enough Brigham Young, like, screen time, and the ending. The ending, in my opinion, like, I don't know. I thought it was a lot to be desired. I got what I wanted out of Isaac Reed's character, but Ms. Rowell was like, she was just a fucking idiot the entire time, in my personal opinion. Yes, I think at the end she made the best decision for her child, but like, I feel like she did that, and like, she got so many people killed inadvertently on this journey to decide to literally not even go to Crook Springs. So like, I was like, damn bro, like, I wonder if is Crook Springs like a real place? Like, why would you go to a place like called Crook Springs? Crook Springs, Utah. Is Crook Springs a real town? Finally reached the town. Okay, so Crook Springs is a fictional town in Utah, conceived by Mark L. Smith, the creator, the screenwriter, blah, blah, blah. First of all, there is an unincorporated community with the same name in St. Clair County, Missouri. However, even though the exact location of the town is not explicitly stated in the Western drama, Sarah's destination is outrightly unrelated to the place in the Show Me State. The region of Missouri is named after Lee Crook, who ran a destination spa there. He was born in 1869, years after the events in the period drama, which includes the 1857 Mountain Meadows Massacre. So it is it was the Mountain Meadows Massacre is what I was talking about. Furthermore, Jim Bridger informs Sarah that the town she wants to reach is beyond the Wasatch Mountains, a mountain range near the borders of Utah, Wyoming, and Idaho, far away from Missouri. The fictional place represents hope and survival for Sarah, who wants to protect her son regardless of the extremes she has to go to. She believes that her child will thrive in the peaceful town with his father. The appealing or even comforting image of a quaint little region is what convinces her to embark on a perilous journey across the Wasatch Range. In addition to being a town, Crook Springs also symbolizes security and warmth, which are essential for her life, obviously. So I don't know why I read all that. But yeah, we get the gist. So not a real place, but yeah, no. I mean, the fact that there is a real place in Missouri called Crook Springs is pretty wild. It seems like a devious place. Like, I don't know, man. Like, not a place like I would expect to exist. Like, Crook Springs. I know that's the last name, but like, dude, it's just a bunch of crooks are there. I'm kidding. But everyone out there, thank you so much for tuning in to my review of American Primeval. I guess my review for this limited time series on Netflix would probably be, I'd give this a 9 out of 10. I think the cinematography, I think the performances by the cast and crew, I think the writing, I love Jim Bridger in the show. I loved Isaac Reed in the show. I loved the action. I loved the adventure. I loved the roller coaster ride. I loved the journey for so many of the different characters. I thought it was a very, very full circle, like I said, show that had a lot of empathy, brutality, also love and hate, and it showcased these feelings and emotions in a very kind of unusual way, in terms of, yeah, it's kind of, maybe some of the story like is typical, but there's a lot of it that isn't. It's a very unique story, in my personal opinion. So if you've not checked it out, be sure to do so. And again, this is Trevor with Tea Time Reports. Thank you so much for tuning in to this limited time series review. Make sure you guys check out our social media platforms on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and Threads at Tea Time Reports. Like and comment on the YouTube channel at Tea Time Reports as well. And if you're on Spotify, Amazon Music, or Apple Podcasts, give us a little thumbs up and a little rating. It goes a long way, and it's greatly appreciated. Thanks again. This is Trevor with Tea Time. Stay safe, stay awake, and peace.